Well, I hope you guys don't. I keep kind of forgetting to mention, but you know.
Wait, are we? Are speaking we of, yeah, I've been recording right?
kind of since okay, Futurama. A lot of that's gonna get cut off, probably.
Oh honestly. Man.
Well, I didn't. I was gonna do a Futurama preview or review or years in review, nothing like that.
You were talking about how to build positive culture, and actually, and I would say that season 11 is shaping up to be the best season.
Really.
I would
like more most shows that come back or have been garbage. For 15 seasons now or whatever. It's a lot. It's like 20 something.
Yeah.
But like that, you know, not only that has the quality not necessarily dropped or stayed down or whatever, but it's like it's still trying. It's still trying, you know.
I think they're trying more with Futurama than they are with The Simpsons.
Oh, that's got to be.
Definitely.
Well, because it's not the same people, right? It's only, I think Matt Groening's not in Simpsons anymore. He's like with Futurama.
He's probably retired. He's probably old.
Yeah, so he's probably retired, but then he goes on there.
But also the storytelling and script writing for Futurama has gotten so much better.
Yeah.
Like, they don't make Fry nearly as stupid. They don't make Bender nearly as obnoxious.
Okay, so he's kind of... Well, I guess because as the season go on, you know, they get with, like, embedded in their little lives. And so, like, Bender's not such an asshole to them. You know, maybe he cares about Fry once in a while, not just like let him die off or whatever.
Yeah. See, there's kind of a balance with Bender. It's like, yeah, he's a complete narcissist, a total asshole, but he's also always being taken down notches.
Yeah.
Bad things always keep happening to him.
Well, he's a robot.
I mean that's kind of the trope, you know. The bad guy has to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the most part,
the jerk always, you know, it's like sooner Cartman or later, always gets his butt
sooner
kicked.
Or later, it comes up to catch them, you know.
It's like that episode of South Park where Token just like completely mauled the crap out of Cartman.
Cartman.
And everyone just like stood there and watched. Just like,
yeah, they know he deserved it.
He didn't maul him. He just hit him once square in the face and Cartman started crying and ran away. And they're like,
yeah, I was
going to
say that.
I always knew Cartman was going to get it one of these days.
No one got upset or like, oh, how could he? They were just kind of like, about time. They were about time.
He had that coming.
Yeah, he had that coming. But then, you know, then Cartman does so much shit that he does or gets away with, you know, the classic.
I mean, like making
Scott Tenorman
eating his parents.
That actually was one of my funniest episodes, just because like it's so like
perfectly evil.
Well, it's so like just like vile and there's no like, you know, he could have killed Scott and that would have been much better than he killed his parents and fed them to him. You know, like how like.
I think that's also what keeps the other kids in line from like completely rebelling against Cartman.
Well, yeah, that's
they know what he's capable of now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. At the end,
yeah. At the end of that episode, they're like, "Dude, let's never piss off Cartman."
But yeah. They, you know, of course, that doesn't hold forever. But yeah.
Well, that's because South Park is partially non-sequential.
Yeah, which keeps it, you know, how they can go to space and
always be in the fourth grade.
Yeah. Well, I think they
started in the first third grade and then they went into the fourth grade.
Oh, okay. After about 10 years?
Well, they started with Mr. Garrison, then they went to Miss Chokes on Dick, and I'm not sure what happened to her because they were with Mr. Garrison or Mrs. Garrison.
She died.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. That was the Sea Monkeys episode.
Damn, you guys have been watching a lot more than that.
Mrs. Garrison and Mr. Slave.
Yeah, when she choked Mrs. Chokes on Dick.
Choked on Dick?
Choked on Dick with Mr. Mackey.
Okay. Yeah, I always like Mr. Mackey.
Yeah.
Drugs are bad.
Yeah, she had a dalliance with Mr. Mackey, and then she died. And the kids...
How did she die?
I'll let you figure that one out.
Yeah.
They did something like put sea monkeys in her coffee or something like that. And they thought that's what killed her. So they had to go find her body in the morgue. And they found fluid in her stomach and such. And they brought that out.
They thought it was sea monkeys.
Yeah. And that's the one where like... They go to Chef and like we killed her, we did it. And like he goes and gets children? Like fake IDs for them and things like that. Okay, kids, we gotta move now.
He's trying to like
get them over the border.
Yeah. I mean, that's the chef. He was always down.
Well, that's the thing. As a chef, like, you know, he not only served the kids, like he watched out for them and he gave them life lessons, you know, how to make love to a woman. He does his own thing. Oh, that's funny. I do. That's one of those mini shows that once the sky's burning and we're hiding in our bunkers, I'm just have that, you know, on loop. Just watching all.
Start collecting DVDs now.
I feel like I had three or four. Well, I had like three or four or five or something. Then my dad threw them out, probably. He did some spring cleaning lately. The one I'm really upset about because I haven't been able to find
him. He killed Kenny. That bastard.
Yeah, he killed Kenny. That was already dead. You dug up his corpse and urinated on him. But yeah. Oh, so I guess I drifted off. But I kind of want to say like. Because I know we haven't even checked their ass, but like, I don't have the space in my place, and it's not like insulated to record. So I kind of feel like I'm just taking advantage now.
No, that's fine.
That's fine.
I just means, so, you know, Lily's fine. We don't have to worry about what she's doing while we record.
Yeah, as long as it's actually like,
better for us.
What? That works for me, man. I figured because like, wait, I got to drive over there and I got to change. You know, I got to put on clothes. So that works for me.
Now, this is, you know, it's like our house is probably the most relaxing environment for us because we know the house is pretty well lily proofed as far as anything dangerous.
Yeah, except for
it's
or when, dangerous or hurt things she could break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have a hurt her or things she can hurt.
You don't have your china cabinet or.
It's
know,
when we go to other people's houses, it kind of gets stressful because then we've got to watch her to make sure she's not like breaking someone's vase that they got from their great aunt that's been dead for like the 100 years or something.
Yeah, you know? Or I like the urn of their grandparents or something.
It's like when we go to her mom or her grandparents' house, it's like someone's got to watch Lily.
Especially at my grandparents' house because everything is breakable there.
And old.
And unreplaceable.
The furniture, the knickknacks, the people.
The one of a kind. They got all the like the family heirlooms and stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we were talking about it off the air, but yeah, getting car work.
Most of the furniture in the family room where we do the whole Christmas, most of that furniture is at least 70 or 80 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dang, girl, you're going to be peeing later.
Oh, she just drank it all. I thought she wanted more.
I gave that to her when you got here.
Oh, shit.
And now it's empty. So.
Half an hour at best, yeah.
I think it was like only half full.
No, I filled it up.
Oh, you filled it up. Oh, jeez.
She's going to be peeing like a racehorse later.
Little Miss Niagara. Like a racehorse.
Yeah. Miss Niagara there.
My nephew's there. Yeah, car stuff. My nephew's there, you know, preteens, teens or so, but they've kind of been starting, you know, practicing a little. Maybe one's been on the road because he's closer to like 15, 16, but the younger one's been driving kind of in the driveway and stuff. But it's funny because he was telling me the other day how, like, you know, it's sort of like pride of like, to think that, like, yeah, I'm getting so good at driving. He says something about like, he didn't even have to use the backup camera. And I just sat there, like, laughed at him. He's like, is that the
equivalent? Back in our day, yeah, we didn't have backup cameras. Damn it.
I hardly even have to use my backup camera. And I'm sitting like, what? What do you mean? Like, back? We'd be lucky we had side view mirrors, man.
Right.
You turn and look over your shoulder. But that cracked me up. Kind of like,
I'm pretty sure my van didn't have mirrors.
When my friend was teaching her daughter how to drive, you know, just recently, it's like she's 18, but you know she didn't want her license when she was 16, so it's like not a big deal.
Last year or two.
Yeah, and she's got a backup camera in her car. She put a piece of paper over it.
I hear that
because she wanted her to learn how to use mirrors, and which is a good thing she did because when she bought a car for her daughter, it was a 06 Grand Prix. Don't have backup cameras.
Yeah, not 06. That's a good sized boat.
It's actually not.
No,
it's pretty petite.
Okay. Yeah, kind of mid-sized?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Grand Prix is a sort of mid.
Oh, I'm thinking of the like Shirley's car, Sherry's car.
It's a little bit smaller than Sherry's car. It's the same model just a year later, but it's a little bit smaller.
Okay. Yeah.
Perfect size for Lisey.
So it's like somebody these days say, like, you know, buying a motorcycle and then bragging that, hey, I don't even have seated grips or heated grips. And you're like, okay, like that's not like your standard one, you know what I mean? Just think like, I don't know, that made me laugh because like, I didn't even use my back. I'm like, what, how hard? Parallel park? I don't know, man, something, you know.
Can you do a three-point turn?
Yeah, do anything.
I don't see why people say three-point turns are so hard.
They're not.
Yeah, those are probably, compared to parallel parking.
Parallel parking is difficult.
Well, I think once you've three-point turned a 26-foot U-Haul, you can pretty much three-point turn anything under a C-rated license.
Yeah. Even if you're sitting there, you know, turning the steering wheel, like, over
no,
and over.
The 26-footers, those are like a 38-point turn.
Right, yeah. True that.
Trying to turn one of those things down to Shaw storage.
Mm-hmm. In a very small area.
Ready for the intro?
Nope.
Oh, maybe we will get Beth to death. Beth the Death Deity.
I think you should roll with that.
Beth the Death Deity.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, there you go.
It's already recording, but here we go. This is Tony Shalva, your Jive As Alien with...
Beth the Death Deity.
Oh, it rolls right off the nice. Soul.
Yeah. So I guess I would make you Shiva?
Depends on what religion, I guess.
Yeah.
And...
Mark making the musical magic mark.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. I always try for some alliteration.
Yeah, yeah.
If I could try, if I think of anything, I'd go for alliteration.
Well, we slacked off, but I always like the whole where we get you like five or six initials. So it could be like,
Yeah, but that's hard good to come comedy. Up with a new one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's hard to come up with them.
That's what we should do, like,
each and then episode. I have to and then I have to remember what it was by the end of the episode.
that's probably the funniest part.
That's why it's always different at the end than it is at the beginning.
I have a goldfish over here. The CRS is strong, man.
So these are some albums, so of course some singles or whatever, that are turning 30 in 2024. Therefore, they came out in 1994 when we were all wee lads and lasses of 10 years old. I don't know about you guys, but I wasn't really listening to music at that age.
I was, but it wasn't new music.
I had started exploring, and there was a number of different sounds bouncing around the house.
Oh, okay, so cacophony of music going on.
Yeah, well, my brother discovered rap, but my mom also listened to a lot of pop country, or new country. And my dad listened to a lot of soundscapes, and once in a while, something, I don't know, Neil Diamond.
Good old Neil Diamond.
But I had
Neil Diamond's been like classic for ages now, huh?
Yeah.
Since I was a kid, it was already.
And I think I had also started kind of exploring out, so I kind of remember listening to a few different things then.
But it seemed like there was at least a nice smorgasbord of flavors. You could be like, I don't really care for that. I don't care.
That's kind of like where I was around that time, too. I think around that age, you know, everyone just tries to find what works for them, what speaks to them.
Well, 10 years old, like, I didn't really get into music till like middle school for sure. Like, I heard it when I was younger, but it wasn't until middle school till I started like seeking out the music I wanted, the albums, the artists, whatever.
I had musicians in my family, so there was always music around.
See, that tracks. My parents always played their music. That's kind of it. You know, I was the oldest one, so I didn't follow like my sister's taste or whatever. But a lot of it was radio. You know, I like listening to the radio down there in Los Angeles. So I got a lot of good hip-hop, rap.
And yeah, I didn't actually buy an album until I was like 15. So
yeah,
13 or 15 or something.
Well, see, in middle school, and this will like be like where it dates you or whatever, but I had the classic Columbia Music House.
Oh, yeah. My parents did that, too. We got all kinds of crazy crap.
Well my parents, my mom, actually, because I remember it was her name, got, and so it was like, five albums for a penny, and they're like, well, you can't beat that price.
Gee, I wonder why they went under.
Okay, if this, I'll wait on it till see if it's on your list, but I wanted to look it up to make sure. If it's not on the list, I'm going to be really disappointed in that list.
Was it like a popular song? Or
very.
Yeah, so it might be, because this one goes, it's trying to like, where I'm reading the description of it, 94 was, it says when grunge was kind of on a down slow, which is funny because
The Seattle grunge.
Well, me getting into music, and that's probably one of the genres that I either instantly attached to or that I still to this day, you know, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden is like my favorite of all time. So
I think she's trying to mimic us.
You making fun of me?
No, like, I think she wants to join in.
No.
You can come and listen to us.
Bring the Ottoman and join in, bug.
But
no,
so,
she's fine.
So that's when it kind of like, when I listen to music and I start kind of learning the history and the charts, I always thought like I thought grunge was, I didn't know grunge started that early as it did, like mid to late 80s. I thought it was more like
when 80s. I discovered grunge and Nirvana mainly is already after he had blown his head off. So.
Yeah, exactly. So 1994 is when he died. So you want to talk about like, you know, grunge. So that's kind of where like grunge was already like at its peak or whatever.
Flannel t-shirt, nose three quarts.
Yeah. See, to me, that would be like, damn, I thought that was already late, but that's already on this tail-end.
I was talking about this with Jen last night and talking about, you know, millennials who don't know anything. It's like, saw a meme once, like, I don't know if they're being serious or if they're being, you know, if they're kidding. Yeah, being silly. It's like, you know, saw a meme once, it's like a Twitter feed. It's like, has anyone ever noticed that the drummer for Nirvana looks exactly like Dave Grohl?
Oh, yeah, I see that, I saw one the other day where it says something like, I had a picture of Dave Grohl, and it says like, somebody like said something about like, hey, Dave Grohl, like he looks like the drummer from Nirvana, like
something like that.
Yeah. He's like, dude, it's are you effing with me? Like you should know that before Foo Fighters, man. Which honestly, I like Foo Fighters a lot. A lot of people though.
I could take him or leave him, but. Yeah. You know, I can totally respect Dave Grohl though.
Yeah, well, they're not one of my bands that like I would uniformly like play every song. Like, there's some songs that are slower that
I like them because they're a bunch of silly guys.
Well, yeah. Well, he said a few years ago that he makes old man rock, and I was kind of like, you know what, you're totally right, and I totally like. He's fine with it. He's not, you know, trying to hang on to his youth, a la Metallica or something like that.
Hi-yo.
Oh yeah. Give myself. All right, we all got one this episode. Hey, these things still work.
I was gonna say that was a solid burn.
Well, that's funny. She almost got her. You know what? I get to a rim shot.
You need one that's just like burn.
Or no, I can't remember the one we did before that we got to do.
Play your tablet, baby.
But yeah, 94. Rock is still big, like always. Rock has always sort of been like in the undercurrent. You know what I mean? It's
like when I was really, really young. You know, I listened to what my brother and my cousin listened to, and my cousin listened to B95, and so my brother started listening to B95. But after a while, we realized, you know, this kind of sucks. Yeah. So we started listening to KRZR.
Yeah, oh, okay, that's how both of those here. Kind of exploded, like
around the same time.
Yeah.
Late 90s,
they were both,
or
you know, and they, well, both of them were children of Clear Channel Communications, the global juggernaut of the time.
So Clear Channel was it back then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I think they bought them back or something, huh? Because I've seen Clear Channel all the time.
Because I remember listening to, you know, the front row. They were always kind of like being part of the global juggernaut that is Clear Channel Communications. They bought another channel. It's blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the KRZR and B95, their studios were like right next to each other. So there was always a little bit of, you know, sibling rivalry between the two.
Yeah. They were in the same building.
Yeah.
Because you see the sign outside, B95 KRZR.
Yeah, right there, Sean Blackstone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First in Shaw?
Sean Blackstone. Right there next to Golden One.
Oh, because I was thinking of at first where they were behind the Carl's Jr. and the Denny's. They were there for a long time.
They were there for a long?
Oh, see, I only know of them where he's talking about. Like, because I went there one time ages ago when I won like tickets or something.
Yeah.
Oh, no, maybe I'm thinking of the Fox. I'm thinking of the Fox. Never mind. Sorry.
Oh. What's the Fox?
Yeah, I thought they were part of the same family.
Probably.
Yeah. I think maybe now, huh? Fox might be part of something different.
Well, I know they're like similar or sister station to 104.1 New Rock.
So, yeah.
So whatever New Rock is, they're attached to.
That's what it was. It was Fox and New Rock.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go.
Hang on, my bad.
I'll look that up.
But so 94 is also, which is, were you guys ever fans of the Dave Matthews Band or Hootie and the Blowfish?
Nope.
I always thought they were the same group, to be honest, for the longest time until like I saw somewhere where they said Dave Matthews Band and Hootie and the Blowfish are like, they're not both soft rock.
I did not care much for either.
I've heard a song or two that are like okay, but yeah, they're not like my go-to or nothing.
Like, I explored Dave Matthews for like 5 minutes, and then I was like, I'm good.
There's a great story about like a tour they were on some ages ago where, I want to say it was in Boston, they were going over a bridge and it was the Dave Matthews tour bus, and the driver, somebody like released their waste and it fell like on a tour.
The driver dumped the bus.
Yeah.
Dumped it in
on the bridge and over the river. And so there was a boat going under and they got hit.
Oh, no.
Which is like the funniest thing ever. Cause like, did you plan that? Yeah,
they got sued for that.
Yeah. Yeah. They got hit pretty good, which I totally sue them. Oh, that's funny. But it's also like, I guess when, R&B started getting big, around that time, which I've never been a huge R&B fan, but I could take it or leave it.
But yeah, okay, so New Rock 104 is a channel of One Putt Broadcasting.
One Putt Broadcasting, yeah.
Who also runs
Kino and the Fox.
Oh, wait, so you said they used to be on Sean first? I made
it. Yeah.
Okay, because, they're in downtown. Job, like, they've been in downtown for the longest time.
Yeah, they're there for a long, long time. I don't even think that building they were in is there anymore. I think they tore it down. But then they moved to, like, the tower. And then they moved downtown.
Oh, okay. So they moved.
Coincidentally, they just turned 32.
Who did?
One Putt?
104.1.
Oh.
I remember when they first hit the scene,
1992.
Damn.
So how topical is that? Because that's the kind of music that you will find there is Nirvana and
all the grunge. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah,
they were kind of competitors to KRZR.
Yeah, like they would play some of the similar. Well, KRZR was a lot heavier than like the new ones because they play like softer stuff now on the Blaze 105.1. Yeah. But they play, you know, that's where you'll hear. Well, you hear Metallica on 104.1, but not often. You definitely won't hear Slayer. And you will hear some Slayer on. You know, I got kind of sad news about Slayer. I always, you know, they're, when it comes to thrash metal, that's like my favorite band. But now I'm reading it, come to find out, like, they're not as close as they were. I know Dave Lombardo, like, he quits or they get rid of him every, like, 3-4 years. But now I'm reading Kerry King's starting his, like, own band. And I heard the single about it. And the singer's different. But it sounds exactly like Slayer. It's got the dope thrash. It's a really good song. But he's talking about, like, he wrote and played, like, the bass parts. When it, you know, it's supposed to be Tom Araya, the singer bassist for Slayer. So basically, there's animosity there, and it sucks.
Well, I mean, a band can't. It's really hard for, you know, four guys with competing egos to stay together for so long.
But you can have the happy medium like Metallica, where they're not, you know, lovey-dovey all the time, but they're not like necessarily. Oh man, the minute nobody's saying, I wish Kurt would have died.
It can be really hard, you know, even if it's not egos, but just artistic visions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over time, you're going to
We're tired of doing the thrash and thrash. Can we do a little? Yeah.
Yeah. After a while, they'll mature a little bit more and want to do something different.
I mean, that's actually very common for after a while. Bands just kind of...
It all sounds the same after a while.
Yeah, well, so they have to pursue an artistic vision by doing some other project.
Well, so like the front guy, Tom Araya, the main thing, he's like wanted to be done with the band because that he's sick of touring. He wants to be home with the family more, which is...
I totally get it.
Yeah. Well, I get that, but it's like if being a band like Slayer, you're not necessarily... Your legacy is set, right? You don't have to put on an album at all. You got plenty of music. Once in a while, come out and do a little tour or a little special show. I mean, don't pull a Led Zeppelin, just never play. But, you know, do a little something. But
it's kind of hard for Led Zeppelin to tour since two of them are dead.
Wait, no, who else is dead? Only one's dead. The drummer. Yeah, because Robert Plant's still alive.
It's just Page and Plant that are still alive.
Well, Plant doesn't. Yeah. No, what's his name? I'm trying to think of the rest of the band.
The bassist.
Poor guy. He always gets
bassists are never remembered.
But no, he did a really good. Speaking of Dave Grohl, he did
John
a really
Paul
good.
John Paul Jones.
Yeah, there you go, John. I'm pretty sure he's still alive, unless I didn't hear about the last year too. John Paul Jones, if you're still with us, sorry to your premature death. Well, this is kind of neat though for our area, topical. But in '94, it was the self-released debut, which to me I didn't realize it was that old. But of Korn, Bakersfield's own Korn, which is like that seems like a long. I thought they came out like '98 maybe, but 1994.
Yeah, I remember listening to that. Yeah.
Damn, that's
the awesome. One with the little girl on the cover, right? The little girl on the swing.
That would be the self-titled album.
Yeah, that's what it said. Yeah. Korn. Yeah. So it is. Yeah, the self-titled one.
Man, Korn is one of those bands that they hit the scene and they exploded.
And they're still like, pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once, as soon as like that first album dropped, they were everywhere.
Yep. John Paul Jones, birth name John Baldwin, is still alive.
Okay.
He is 78.
See, he did a real cool one-off album, which I think is like unfortunate because the album was so good. But with Dave Grohl and the guy from what's that band? Queens of the Stone Age. His name I can't remember
the name. I was never into Queens of the Stone Age.
They're all right, like the guy has good guitar playing, but
it's like a lot of bands that came out around the millennium.
Yeah,
to me they all sounded exactly the same and I couldn't tell them apart.
Well, like Korn has that, they say they ushered in that era of the new metal, you know, mm-hmm. like metal with kind of like noise.
Fair.
I'm give or take though.
I don't know if you could say that they invented it, but they were there at the beginning of it.
Yeah, at least they're one of the like the oldest representatives.
I wouldn't classify Queens of the Stone Age as metal though. And rock maybe, soft rock, post rock.
Well, I think we're talking about. I thought we were talking about not Queens of the Stone Age. What's the other band? We're just throwing bands name around now.
Yeah,
I think I can only think of one song from Queens of the Stone Age, and that's Back to the Primitive.
No, that was Soulfly.
Soulfly, yeah.
Soulfly, okay.
No, Queens of Stone Age has like, is it Heaven Knows or what is that song? Damn, you don't know. They played a bunch of singles.
See, no one knows because they all sound the same. They don't know which one is which.
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to 94.
And that also in San Diego around that time was the demo album or the demos for Blink 182. That's how old they are.
Wow, they're still going.
They came back. They were quiet forever, and they just popped back up. So 1994, Aaliyah. Any Aaliyah fans? I'm a pretty big Aaliyah fan.
She was that chick that died, right?
Well, yeah.
She was in Queen of the Damned.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I also remember her. I went through this phase where I was like really into Jet Li movies. Romeo Must Die had her in it.
She's in that one. She was starting to become like an actress. She was one of those branching out. And
before during the late 90s, early 1000s, I think we were all like, ooh, Jet Li, give me more. I think that's pretty much the only reason anybody watched the movie The One was to watch Jet Li kick everyone's ass.
Yeah, because the storyline of The One is horrible. But I watched it.
It's a crappy movie.
Line up Jet Li's movies, and there's probably two or three that have a decent story. Most of them are just
Kiss of the Dragon was, I think, my favorite one from him. I mean, he did all those, you know, China ones back in China.
Kiss of the Dragon was phenomenal.
Yeah, as far as the American releases.
Yeah.
I
would put that up there with The Professional. Kiss of the Dragon. I'd put that up there with The Professional.
As how good it is?
Yeah.
The quality? Mm-hmm. See, that Jet Li, as far as in Kung Fu films, he was the most popular one that did like the wire fu, they call it. Like the guy that's running across rooftops being dangled by wires. You know, where you see no human can do stuff like that. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon stuff.
Yeah.
So he was popular. So when you watch his older movies, he's doing that where he's standing on a bamboo, you know, and crosses his leg, whatever. Versus Jackie Chan is more realistic and, you know, cracking his skull every time he gets. So it's more like something you can do, but you probably shouldn't. You know, you shouldn't jump off a jet to like roll on a baggage claim cart or something, you know.
Yeah.
But Jackie Chan's like, well, why not? Like, because you'll break your leg, dude, as you did again.
If you're watching video, break one more limb, you get a free coffee.
Oh no, you go online and you look up videos or about like how many bones bruised. He's broken like his arm bone, I don't know how many times. It's insane how, you know,
it's like every time you break a bone, it's a little bit easier for that bone to re-break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't heal completely ever.
Especially depending, you know, the smaller bones, you know, on your foot or whatever. But yeah, so Aaliyah's came out and that was her debut. It wasn't where she blew up, but even some of the songs I don't like recognize.
But you know, I never listened to her music. I just remember seeing her in a couple movies.
Nowadays they play it on the radio on, I don't even remember what station, because I have a little variety one, because there's not that many variety of stations here in Fresno, which is, it's like 80% Spanish, and there's three rock, one old rock, and then
there's one classic rock. Yeah. I think one or two newish rocks.
Yeah, that'll play a mix of
there is a handful of country
that's growing. That's the segment that's growing, because there was one that I used to listen to like 2-3 years ago, and then it went silent, and then like a week later it came back as country.
I think Kiss Country is like always been like back there just like trucking through.
Yeah, one of those like that, you know, probably the most popular country, but still like number 12 on the most listened to stations.
Yeah.
But here's probably a big one that's pretty surprising. Not surprising, but I could definitely get behind. But Beastie Boys, Ill Communication.
Oh, no, that's that's Beth's department right there.
We should have waited, because that's already like, we could talk all day on that one.
She probably could.
The one that I hear probably like at least once every 2-3 days, but Sabotage. They play that, you know, that's pretty big. Sure Shot is probably my favorite one out of this little trio. It's got a cool melody to it. But yeah, Sabotage, like... And that's the one with the good video with like
that's the one where they're doing the FBI chase.
Yeah, yeah, they got those awful wigs,
mustaches. The big cheesy mustaches, the oversized aviators.
They're doing the 70s like police, you know, where they're like it's really, they're driving around like they're Ford Victoria, Crown Victorias.
Speaking of which, on Discussions with Davis, Bess and I were going over our favorite music videos, and that was on her list.
Oh, it makes it on the list. Oh,
that was on her list. Well, we were going through like our top five, each of us giving our five favorite music videos.
Yeah.
And plus a few honorable mentions. And there was a couple of bands, like there was three of them, that's like every video they've made is a good time to watch.
So are you going to spoil it or no? Saving it for your show.
I'll spoil it.
Because I'm like,
but if you want to know what's on the rest of the list.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
There you go. Because
just like the best drug hitters. Here's
Beastie
a taste.
Boys, Rammstein, and Weird Al. all of their music videos are enjoyable experiences. Enjoyable. So yeah, it's for various reasons.
So you're just trying to like pick out your favorite out of them.
Picking out your favorite, it's like picking out your favorite
child. Or, yeah,
your favorite type of chocolate or something. It's like I don't know, I can't pick.
I like them all. Yeah.
It's like what's better, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, or white chocolate? It just depends on my mood that day.
Yeah. Sometimes white chocolate hits the spot. You never know.
Precisely. Yeah. So, but that was on best list with Sabotage.
Sabotage and. It's on a different album, but Intergalactic.
Yeah.
See, I got into hip hop pretty big late 90s, kind of when I started getting into music, early 2000s. And I remember when that song came out, like, I hated it. Like,
Intergalactic?
Just, yeah. For some reason, like, the beat of it, something about it, I didn't like it at all. But, like, you know, after a few years or, you know, I didn't seek it out. It went off the charts, of course, it's not playing all the time. But now that I hear it again, you know, it's been a few years now, but like, it's a damn good song.
Or you just weren't ready for it.
Well, I like Beastie Boys more. Maybe at that time I wasn't like such a big Beastie Boy fan. Because now, yeah, Sabotage comes on. It's like, you know, it's a great song.
See, I respected Beastie Boys because I don't know if they always did, but they could, if they wanted to, play their own instruments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And write their own music. And they're just, they're funny guys.
Well, even their old stuff, you know, Brass Monkey, that's like probably my least favorite, but I like jamming to it. It's a real funky song, you know what I mean?
He's a funky monkey.
I was listening to License to Ill the other day, which is like their first big album. And you know, girls.
Oh man,
I've forgotten about that song.
That one's kind of like
the Casio keyboard in the background. Girls, do you don't really like them, girls?
Because in the evening they're girls. So is that the one with the airplane on it?
Yeah.
See, I don't know why I thought Ill Communication was the one with the plane, but no, it's License to Ill.
Ill Communication is like that guy at an order box in drive through.
Oh, okay.
It's black and white. And
yeah, for some reason I had that mix, but like, yeah, License to Ill is the one with the plane, and then inside is like it's crashed or something like that. That's considered like the classic one. Yeah.
Yeah. That
Brass Monkey.
Yeah, Brass Monkey.
I think that was like the first Beastie Boys song I remember hearing is Brass Monkey.
Fight for Your Right to Party, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, all that stuff.
That's another one I like. I wish I knew.
Didn't Carrie Keene play guitar in No Sleep Till Brooklyn?
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. That's kind of going back to Slayer connection. That's kind of neat that I found that out some years ago, and I thought, like, that's pretty damn cool. I know he played guitar in one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ill Communication. So that gets a thumbs up for me for sure.
There's a lot of really good songs on Ill Communication. I really like it.
Paul's Boutique was probably my favorite one growing
Paul's
up.
Paul's Boutique is really great, yeah.
That's probably so more hip hop.
I didn't listen to them at all until recently, but it just seems like there's a consistent quality through their albums.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're all musicians.
It's like,
musicians.
Even though there's a lot of consistency between them, there's also a transition. You can see them growing through their music as time went on. Because at the beginning, it's all, you know, smoke weed, girls, sexism, whatever. But as they got older and more mature, is like, you know, let's be good to each other.
More positive, more socially.
Fun.
Yeah.
Before it was more like, you know, drinking and partying, but then it just became like, let's just have fun, you know.
Yeah. Like be good to each other, be nice, have fun, do, you know.
Well, then after a while, didn't they hang up the Beastie Boys name and just kind of go off onto other projects, and then they came back or something?
Not that I know of. They
had certain albums, I think they did, but it was
they had certain concept albums that were just them being absolutely silly, like the Country Mike stuff.
Country Mike, yeah. I don't remember that.
There is a few songs that
Mike D hit his head or something.
Or
like
that's
that.
The story. I don't know if it really did, but they said Mike D suffered a head injury and thought he was a country singer called Country Mike. And they put out 3 or 4 songs by Country Mike, and they're just terrible. But I think
Country
it was
Mike. I'm Country Mike.
I think that was just them being silly. Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Because they're a bunch of really silly guys.
You make 12, 13 songs, you got to throw a silly one in there once in a while.
They're not Beastie Boys anymore, though. They're Beastie Old Men.
And one of them's dead.
I was so sad when MCA dies. Like, no one saw it coming.
Yeah, well, that's one of those kind of like where you start looking at, you know, the myriad of people in entertainment. You go like, really? You can throw a dart and find any one of these? Like, you had to take out you know, one of the Beastie Boys?
How many? We got boy bands here as fodder. Take any of them.
Yeah.
It's like I saw one time that a picture of the, you know, the congressional hall.
Yeah.
And it's like, we will give you all 500 of these souls if we can just have this one back, and it was Chris Farley.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, deal. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I wouldn't even hesitate.
Even Thomas Massey, you can have him too if we get Chris Farley.
Heaven's like, I ain't giving up Chris Farley. Fuck you guys. But, are you crazy? He's mine now.
I'm kidding. This guy made the song from that one Loverboy song, Immortal.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, find me somebody that genuinely liked the band Loverboy.
Yeah, unironically, yeah.
Every time I hear Working for the Weekend on the radio, I see Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze.
Yup. Oh, that's what, see, I've seen that clip, but I don't remember.
I remember them, yeah.
But I remember his little dance.
Yeah, the Chippendales dance.
Yeah, Chippendales dance.
Yeah. Adrian Barney.